Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. Rossdalehomes.com.au.
608 Ruined. It's here on Triple M. What's making news, Roo?
There's a oyster shortage, Ditch, which is really going to help. Well, not help. It's going to hinder our Christmas celebrations and Christmas shows and oyster eating in general, yeah. I think. So they're talking it's going to be around until probably 2020. It's going to take that long to recover. Production's down around 70% at the moment, and it all started from some disease that they had a couple of years ago called Pacific Oyster Mortality Syndrome, which happened down in Tassie. Couldn't get enough of the spat that they where they breed from, and as a result, prices will go up. There's been heaps of job losses. I think the industry's turnover's dropped from $37 million a year down to $12 million. Restaurants won't be able to put them on their menus due to cost or the fact they just can't get them. So oyster lovers out there.
Did you say Tassie?
I think that's where it started.
Oh, it started. So there's an ongoing effect as far as our, like, Coffin Bay and Port Lincoln's concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. It takes 18 to 24 months to grow an oyster. Mm. So, yeah, that's going to take at least a couple of years to get full production back on track with a bit of luck. So, if you're an oyster lover out there, you're going to be paying a bit more for them, or you're going to be going without them for the short term. So,
18 months or so.
Not good news for the job losses there either, because a lot of good people. We know a few of the people over there at Coffin Bay, and also there's people over at Cow and places like that, so hopefully they can get on top of that sooner rather than later.
All right, now, you know, the Royals continued their Australian tour over the weekend. They went to the Invictus Games opening ceremony and helped launch that, which is great because it's Prince Harry's baby. He's right behind it. But Meghan's struggling, so she's cancelled her engagement. So people on Fraser Island today are going to be disappointed because she's not turning up.
She's not. She's no. Good. Well,
needs a bit
enough.
Of a rest.
You've got to have a rest when you're pregnant.
Whether you like the rules or not, when you see what they're doing here, geez, they go hard, don't they?
And then they go somewhere else and do the same thing there. And yeah, it wouldn't be a walk in the park.
They lock in a few appointments, don't they?
Absolutely.
You'd sleep well at night.
A lot of fake smiling, I would have thought.
Yeah.
Yep. It'd be very hard to do that for a long period of time.
Yep. So anyway, she's having a bit of a rest for a day or two, which is fair enough.
Put the legs up, man. Yeah. Damien Barrett's he's left the footy show as well.
Will there be a footy show?
Oh, you'd think if they weren't going to have it, wouldn't they? You've already made the announcement, do you think?
Maybe he knows something.
You reckon he'd know more than Eddie?
Don't know. But he and Eddie fell out, didn't they? Didn't they have a blue late in the year?
Blue, I think. I don't know if that was all talk or what happened, but you never know. But the rugby show's been canned.
Yeah, and that wins all the awards. You know, every year at the Logies, the NRL footy show wins best sporting program, doesn't it?
Well, that's been going for 25
and
years as well.
Yeah. So the signs aren't good, really. We've said
Sam
many times.
Come out and said what he said.
Yeah, yeah. There was a time when it was just must-see TV. You had to race home on a Thursday.
That was a fair while ago.
But that was a while ago. I haven't watched it for years, to be honest.
No.
And I've just dropped right off it. But that's only me. I don't know if anyone else out there loves it, but it seems as though it's not long for this world.
It'll be interesting to see what happens in 2019, whether there is a footy show or not, but I reckon it's less than 50-50, I guess.
All right, Ruined, it's here on Triple M. That's what's making news in a moment. Our Monday talk back, who's going to ring in today? We'll find out shortly. Ruined, it's on Triple M. On a Monday at about this time, we love to throw the phone lines open. Roo, let's get to a few calls, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. Our first caller, hello, good morning.
G'day, boys. Murray on the Murray.
G'day, mate.
Happy today, boys. I'm not ringing up for an argument.
No, of course not.
I was talking to the Cyclone at the bar there.
The Cyclone? Yeah. Why do you call him that?
Oh, his last name's Tracy. Yeah. He reckons that, Roo, you've been travelling around in an Uber.
Yeah. I was just doing a bit of extra, work in my spare time. Yep.
Yeah, he reckons that you've been travelling around with Pamela Anderson.
Yeah, don't tell the wife.
What's that been like, mate?
Well, as it's good bits, I can tell you.
Yeah. He reckons he also had a nightmare that Pamela Anderson was his mother.
Oh, what?
Yeah, problem was he was a bottle-fed baby.
Right. Oh, he missed out, did he? Poor bugger.
You would be anyway, disappointed, wouldn't you?
Oh, no. You'd have it work, wouldn't you? Anyway, let's go to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
Good day, boys.
Tex. Hey, Tex.
Yeah, how you going?
Where are you? Good. Are you overseas at the moment, or what are you doing?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm looking forward to coming back. Yeah. Footy trip's easier, you know.
Yeah.
She just keeps eating pancakes.
Who's this? The wife?
Yeah. Wow. Hey, I read it online on the advertisement.
Yeah.
Unley Park, they say the median house price.
Mm-hmm.
They misspelt that, but it's medium.
No, medium. Not medium.
What was median?
Yeah.
It's the average house price.
Yeah, that's medium.
Well,
no. median's different. It is different. Well, it takes a little while to explain it.
Well, anyway, if Unley Park, if the sign that says Unley Park fell upside down, it'd say, crap your lung, your null, your nut. Crap your nose.
You've had too big a footy trip, right? Why are you talking about Unley Park? That's where you live, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the prices have gone up, so it looks all right. Yeah.
Well, I did read that in the paper. It's gone up 42% in that area, Tex, so you've made money while you're on holidays.
Yeah, it's gone all right. Hey, you know why blokes should never wear Ukrainian underpants?
Why?
Because Chernobyl fallout.
Chernobyl fallout.
That might not be your best one, Tex, but anyway. Nah, thanks for ringing in.
You don't want that to happen, do
no,
you?
No, you don't. All right, let's get to our next caller. Hello, good morning.
G'day, this is John Farnham.
G'day, Farnham.
How are you, mate? Hey, can I say congratulations on being nominated in the ACRA Awards, the Radio Awards? Glenn said just ring up and congratulate, mate.
I don't think we were nominated, funnily enough.
Yeah, we nominated ourselves, but that's where it ended.
Yeah.
How did you go, mate? You said you were in the finals of it, and you didn't win, mate?
No, shortlist. We didn't win. No.
Shortlist.
Anyway, and he reckons you're giving away tickets to the Parnsie concert.
Yeah. Well, we always have them on standby.
Yeah.
I just want to say thanks and appreciate your help. And you blokes are sounding good, sincerely.
All right. Thanks, yeah. Thanks, Farnsie. I see where he's doing a big concert too on the weekend. I should have asked him about it. Yeah, they're doing a big farm relief concert. Okay. All of Australia's biggest names. Yeah. Hey, listen, we've got time for one more call, I reckon. Hello, good morning.
Hello, Rule Boy. Hello,
Jingle. Hello, Tommy.
Rue was down at your restaurant on Friday.
Oh, it's not far away.
I love it when you come in, you eat the chopstick like you're from China. You're not. You never asked for fork.
Gee, it was busy. Gee, it was busy, Tommy.
Except I cannot get any oyster, though. I know it's busy, but, you know, people are ordering oyster. I can't get them.
No, there's a shorty. Drew was telling us about it earlier this morning.
Yep.
If you know any contact at Coffin Bay, you'll get me some oyster. You'll bring them down to Tommy. We can freeze them, you know. I can for a long time.
You pay cash?
You're not that. You hear about the gay oyster?
The gay oyster, no.
Yeah, pulled a muscle.
You are an idiot.
See you, Rubboy. See you, Ginger.
See you, Tommy. Check out his restaurant
down there on Friday.
Down Goodger Street.
Could not get in that lineup getting out there. Oh, he's on fire, Tommy.
Yeah. All right. That's our Monday talk back for this Monday.
What a goal!
Dits Overnight Sports. Dynamic Insurance. For business insurance delivered personally, see dynamicib.com.au.
Oh, a ton of sport over the weekend. Roo started off with the Reds. Adelaide United drew 1-1 with Sydney. Let's hear from the Reds coach, Marco Kurz.
I think if you play against Sydney, you cannot draw back and you must score more than one goal against them. But I think it's from our side, it was a very, very good game and we can improve for the next step.
All right, in the basketball, Adelaide 36ers had that great win over Sydney, but they went down to Melbourne 75-72. Here's their coach, Joey Wright.
I don't think we lost it at the end. I thought we lost in the middle part of the game. We had a chance to keep pushing. Probably could have did a better job of getting to our rotations. I mean, the last two games, we've given up a lot of easy layups. I mean, they're just not going to miss those. So we got to do a better job of contesting the perimeter jump shot and keeping them out of paint.
There you go. Rue, did you watch the Caulfield Cup?
Did have a look at the Caulfield Cup and a horse called Best Solution. The top weight just got the chocolates.
Best Solution at the 200 metres. Holmesman grinding it down. The Cliffs of Moore running on. Best Solution, a neck in front of Holmesman. Best Solution just. Holmesman stretching every sinew. Photo Best Solution's won it.
stretching every sinew.
Just won it. And they've got the Cox Plate coming up this weekend, and Winks is going to go for four in a row. If it can do that, it'll definitely be the best horse ever in Australian history. Some say it already is. We'll have a chat to Bruce McAvaney later on in the week about Winks's preparation for the Cox Plate.
Craig Lowndes and Stephen Richards, after they'd won Bathurst, took out the Enduro Cup on the Gold Coast over the weekend. However, the race was cut short because of the conditions. Too difficult.
Too much rain up there.
Yeah, there was too much rain. The reports are Usain Bolt will be offered a contract by the Central Coast Mariners.
Mm.
And Mark Marquez made it a third straight MotoGP championship. He's already stitched it up with three races to go after he took out the Japanese Grand Prix.
He must be getting close to being up there with Mick Doohan there, is he?
Yeah, he is. You're absolutely right. He's got five world titles, the same as Mick Doohan. Yeah. Great effort. 6:37, Roo and Ditts here on Triple M. Roo, the funny things that happen when you've got kids. And over the weekend, my brother was over and we were chatting away, and he was talking about when his little boy walked in on mummy and daddy.
His little boy walked in on
having
him.
Having a cuddle.
Oh, no. And, you get onto this, just having a chat.
As you do, family discussions. Mm. And his little boy is about three. Daddy, is mummy under there? I want mummy. So mummy's head poked out around. I'm here.
Just playing hide and seek.
Did you ever walk in on your parents?
I actually didn't, no. Their bedroom was down a bit and it was a fair way away. So, no, I actually didn't walk in on them, thank God.
I was 13 years of age. So by then, you think your mum and dad are real old, like very old, and surely they're past
it. Are you the youngest?
Yeah, I was a mistake. I'm the youngest by 10 years. Yeah.
10 years?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, or nine years, yeah.
Sarah's the youngest by 8, too. She was a mistake.
Yeah.
So I didn't walk in. You learnt all
things
you weren't meant to learn at a young age.
I remember our phone, because in those days, only one phone in the house, and it was up our passageway, right outside mum and dad's door. And phone rang, so I've gone up and I've answered the phone. It was one of my mates, and so I'm chatting away. But and then I said to him, "Just hang on a second, will you? I hear all this squeaking going on. The bed's rattling." And I've just said, "Oh, mate, sorry, I got to ring you back." I was distraught. I was devastated.
You knew what was going on.
Oh, it was horrible. And I just walked back down the other end of the house. I just didn't need to know. It was just the worst thing. Yeah, Alice the Wag.
Dad was going at it like a rabbit.
Yeah,
eh?
Shocking.
Did they know that you saw?
No. I didn't see. No, I just hear it all. I can hear everything's going
just
on.
Just heard the squeaking.
Yeah, that was enough.
I'm so awkward. One time we were sitting. I was pretty young, and we were sitting around, just watching telly. And Mum said, "Oh, I might have an early night tonight." And just as she said it, I looked at Dad accidentally. He was standing behind me, and his eyebrows started going like he was really excited.
He knew what code for an early night was.
Yeah, and that's all I needed to see.
Oh, and you worked it out at age of 12.
I knew something was up.
You reckon they know at 12?
12, you've already done sex ed at school.
My daughter turns 12 in a couple of months. So I've got to start thinking about that.
Fair idea that Soph knows what's going on at your house.
Are you serious? You have six kids.
Come on. What? Have your kids walked in on your room?
No, they've been in the same bed.
Yeah, I was going to say, they don't have to walk in. They're in the same bed.
I told you the other day, Tom started groaning as if to say shut up the other day.
How old's he?
2.5.
Keep it down, Mum and Dad.
He sort of must have been stretching or something. I didn't realise he was that close. It does happen though, doesn't it? I suppose. But I think when they're that little and they don't even know what's going on, it's okay. But when they start, so you reckon 12, they know what's going on?
Yeah, you do sex ed in like grade 6. So that's about 12 or 13.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
They had to make you feel wag at that time. When you've seen Dad, he's got the thumbs up going and his eyebrows are twitching. He's going.
Well, do you know what? I've never talked about it. I've never thought about it until this moment when you just asked me. Like, I just really blocked it from my head.
Well, Dad will be listening now. You're going to have a chat with him about it next time.
Yeah, I'm so awkward. We'll never talk about it again.
Whenever he does it again.
Keep those early nights coming, eh? Yeah. Hey, 133353. Have you walked in on your folks, or have the kids walked in on you? Yeah, what happened? Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, exactly. Give us a buzz. 133353. Give us a buzz.
When have you walked in on your parents doing the wild thing, or have your kids walked in on you?
Yes.
133353.
Hey, we've got a cracking prize to give away too. It's a Love a Day on the Green.
Oh, yeah.
The concerts, that is. A Day on the Green featuring John Farnham, Darryl Braithwaite, and Richard Marx. This is on November the 24th at Leconfield Wines as well. How good's that going to be? Tickets at ticketmaster.com. Let's go to Mitchell Park. G'day, Damien.
How you going?
Good, mate. Did you get walked in on, or did you walk in on the parents?
No, my parents walked in on me.
Oh, what?
Oh, no.
How old were you?
18.
Yeah?
And me and my girlfriend were supposed to be going to work picking fruit out at my belong. We lived in Murray Bridge at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to take the day off and go to my bedroom, and Mum obviously didn't know that I was still home because my car was out the front, and she walked straight in. Well, I don't know why she walked into my room for that morning, but my girlfriend was on top of me, and there, she seen everything.
Bit embarrassing.
And how did that conversation go?
It didn't really. Like, she walked out and...
Shut the door, Damien. Lock the door.
She shut the door. She walked out. I could hear her mumbling something up the hallway, and... Mm.
That's not how you do it, she said.
No.
I thought I'd kill the movie, but my girlfriend wanted to keep going, so we didn't.
Yeah, well done. Good on you, Damien.
Good on you, Damien.
Righto.
We are talking about when have you walked in on mum and dad, or have the kids walked in on you?
Oh, God, what a situation. Let's go to Morphavale. Steve, what happened to you?
Yeah, g'day, boys. Yeah, I was a young kid. I was only about 12, and we had a rule in our place. You always had to say goodnight to mum and dad before we went to sleep, cleaned our teeth, and always had to say goodnight to mum and dad. And mum and dad's room was first, and mine was right down the end of the passage. And as I opened up the door, I saw mum and dad doing the wild thing, and I didn't even get a chance to say goodnight. Quickly shut the door and went to bed. And it was just so funny just to see, you know, your mum and dad, because when you're really young, you don't realise that your mum and dad are,
doing the wild thing.
But it was quite funny because I didn't even get a chance to say goodnight or nothing. Like,
did you have a nightmare that night?
No, in the morning, mum said, you didn't say goodnight. And I didn't really want to say what was going on.
Oh,
so
you didn't say, well, I tried to, but...
I kept it to myself. So.
Good on you. That's respect, Steve.
Well done, Steve.
Good on you, mate. Good That's lad. What we want. Let's Good go lad. To Danielle at Modbury. G'day.
Hey, guys.
How are you, Danielle?
Yeah, good. We had an early night. I thought the kids were asleep. Went to bed. After a few minutes, our bedroom door shut. Let my husband do it. That. So I got up, and my eldest son was in his room on Facebook.
Oh, no.
And I said, did you just come in our room? He goes, yeah, I just took, because I had three cats. I just put the cat in your room, Mum. I said, no, you didn't. He goes, yeah. He goes, what are you two doing? I said, never mind.
Never you mind. You could have come up with something better than that.
On his Facebook, he wrote it all over Facebook.
So you've gone international.
No.
I was so embarrassed. And
the cat was out of the bag then.
What the hell are you doing? He goes, I think it's funny. I said, I don't think it's funny. If it wasn't for me and your dad, you wouldn't even be bloody here. So I suggest you go.
There you go. Well done, Danielle. Thank you. Let's go to Aldinga Beach. G'day, Steve.
G'day, boys.
What's happening?
Long time ago, my wife and I were sort of getting stuck into it. And anyway, the young bloke, who's now 35, I might add. The young bloke walks in and he just bursts straight into tears and he goes, stop fighting.
That's a good result.
Beautiful. Good
I'm
on you.
I'm not fighting. That's quite the opposite.
Last call. Let's go to Aldinga Beach again. Hello, Danielle.
Good morning.
What happened to you, Danielle?
So I was about 12 years old. Mum and Dad often had regular showers together, so I thought it was perfect opportunity to go into their bedroom and sneak at the Christmas presents that they locked in their cupboard.
Yeah, good.
So the shower gets turned off. Quick panic. It's only directly across the road from the hallway, from the bedroom.
Yeah.
So I was like, I've got nowhere to go. Better lock myself in the cupboard. So it turns out they weren't finished in the shower, and I had to wait in the cupboard until they finished.
Serve yourself right cheating on your Christmas presents.
I'm 28 now, and it still haunts me.
Have you had a chat to your mum and dad about this?
Unfortunately, recently,
Well, how did it come up? Why did it come up?
I think I'm not really sure. I think I've had drinks and
What did they say? Like, did they know you're in there? Did they think you're in the cupboard?
No, they had no idea. Absolutely no idea.
Were they horrified? That wouldn't have been a good thing to watch, though.
Oh, Mum thought it was brilliant.
Danielle, that wouldn't have been a good thing to watch, surely.
No, it wasn't. So, to this day, I make sure my door is locked.
well done, Danielle. How funny is that?
That's a great story.
Well, I think Danielle from Aldinga Beach needs to win the double to go to the day on the green with John Farnham, Daryl Braithwaite and Richard Marks, 24th of November, Leckenfield Wines. Get your tickets at ticketmaster.com. A day on the green is a fantastic day out with a group of friends. Get a busload. Get four or five couples or even just go with your wife and have a date night.
Drew, I'm always interested in Adelaide, getting into the 2000s, upgrading with technology and doing what other major cities in the world do. But do we need a high-speed rail that would connect us with Melbourne and other capital cities?
Yeah, it's outside of my specialty areas, Ditz, that's for sure. But that's the way the future's going to go. And we've got a guest who thinks that that's where Adelaide should go.
All right, Sam Taylor is a candidate for the Central Ward when it comes to the Adelaide City Council elections, and it's his idea. Sam, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good. Now, Sam, when I think that I can fly to Melbourne in roughly an hour, why, and it's quite convenient, I get out to the airport and just fly to Melbourne, why do you think
we need cost efficient.
Why do we need a high-speed rail?
Well, look, it's a really great question. One of the things that I'm trying to answer in my campaign for council is, we have solutions to problems now, but what are the problems that are going to exist in 10 or 15 or 20 or 30 years' time?
Yep.
And, it's not for me to talk about the airports growth strategy, but really we're looking at population growth both in Adelaide and in Melbourne. We're looking at the cost of fuel. We're looking at the security arrangements that are ever increasing. So the aim really is to suggest, I suppose, that high-speed rail, which works all over the world, everywhere else, is a viable option to get us there in about the same time in a way that is actually future-proof. But I have to say, another one of my main inspirations for this has been, in fact, one of my clients at the moment, I'm a business advisor by training, by trade, and one of my clients is a company that specializes in tourism for people with a physical disability.
Right.
And one of the studies that they use to show that there's a market for that is that the national opportunity loss, so to speak, of people who are not traveling because they have a physical disability, for whom airports are a major barrier, is about $10.8 billion in Australia. So even from an economic perspective, there's actually this enormous opportunity to provide, a form of transport that is accessible to a huge portion of the underserved market, including their families, including elderly people. So I really thought that was an interesting opportunity to have the discussion.
Yeah, so is it just a discussion? Is it realistic? Have you thought about the costs of it? Would you go on the same train track? Do you have to build new tracks? I mean, how far into it are you other than just thinking about it?
All great questions. So I'm not proposing that the Adelaide City Council would fund or build the whole thing. Obviously, it would be a multi-tiered, significant project, probably cost many, many billions of dollars. But what I'm thinking is that, you like me probably watch a lot of sci-fi, we've all grown up watching these kinds of movies. Really, the question that I'm asking is, if we've got this future ahead of us where these facilities are available, when are we going to build them? They might take 15 years, 20 years to build.
We can't even get a train from the airport to the Adelaide CBD, and you want to build one from Adelaide to Melbourne.
It's very true. And what that actually tells us is that the problem isn't desire. The problem is leadership. And so that's what I'm basically proposing, is that this is effectively a political, a personal, a people issue. It's not It's not something that, you know, the community doesn't want necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
But because I'm a marketer at the moment, you know, my job is to help people to understand issues in a way that they understand. But really, the main message is, if we want this thing in 20 years' time, yep. then we have to look forward at 20 years.
Yep.
And work backwards from there. We've got to start building it. It might take 5 years to plan,
yep.
so let's start planning now.
Good idea.
Good on you, Sam. Thanks for joining us this morning. Sam Taylor, a candidate for the Central Ward in the Adelaide City Council elections. It'll be a major, major project, Roo.
Oh, that'll be huge. I mean, it might happen from Melbourne to Sydney first or something like that. You can picture it up the east coast of Australia, I think. And, you know, in 2040, it may well happen because things change pretty quickly with technology.
The thing is, up and down the east coast, Roo, there are major towns. So, like, there's Newcastle, for example. There are heavily yeah. populated towns and cities along the way.
Yep.
So it probably makes sense. And if you're in Queensland, Townsville, Cairns, you've got big cities like that. We actually don't have that between Adelaide and Melbourne.
No, not a lot. No. Unless you go via Mildura like I always do. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. If you take the long way around. Yeah. 104.7 Adelaide's Triple M. Roo, we've heard a lot about the Invictus Games over the last couple of weeks, and fair to say that Prince Harry's done his job. He's promoted it really well around the world.
Yeah, he was on Australian Story the other night, and just he had a little bit to say.
4 years ago in London, we launched the Invictus Games, an event which brings together former and current members of the armed forces to harness the power of sport to inspire their recovery from physical and mental injuries. As a former soldier, I wanted to do something positive for servicemen and women whose lives have been turned upside down and hopefully have a positive impact on their families too.
Well done. Good stuff. Now, this morning, Roo, we're going to meet, in fact, right now, one of the participants, Matthew Models, his name, from New South Wales. Matt, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Now, which events are you competing in? We're led to believe that you're competing today.
That's correct, mate. Yes, the indoor rowing is on today. It kicks off very shortly, and I'll be competing in the four-minute endurance row and the one-minute fly and dive.
Yeah, this is the indoor. What are you on, a machine?
Yeah, so it's on the erg. So it's an adaptive sort of thing, so we can cater for all different... Anyone that's been on an indoor rower knows it's, it can hurt and it definitely tickles a bit.
Don't have to tell us, mate.
Matt, I'm just about to lead you into the other man working with me here, Ditz. He reckons there's something wrong with the machine because he reckons when he uses it, he can't breathe.
I'm telling you, it is the worst piece of equipment at the gym.
I'm not doing that. I can't breathe. I just can't breathe on it.
I've got to say, Matt, it's the one piece of equipment I get on it, and when you have to scrunch up with your legs coming into your chest, I can't bloody get any air in.
It's because your guts is too big.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, it's not the most enjoyable thing, but it's look, for me, it's a challenge, and I really enjoy it. We've got some great competitors from other nations joining us, and yeah, look, it's not pretty, that's for sure, and there's no hiding from the results. But yeah, look, I'm pumped.
Tell us about the Invictus Games. Now, you're a rifleman in the army. You've hurt your back and you got a spinal injury. Tell us, about your time in the army and then perhaps afterwards and why you wanted to get involved in the Invictus Games.
Look, yeah, sure. For me, getting injured while serving overseas in East Timor, it was very tough for me. I actually returned home with the injury to newborn twin boys.
We were
around about 6 months old. Jeez. So for me, it was a real big mental game coming home, not being able to be a dad or be a proper dad and do all the things that dads, do, pick up their kids and things like that. So it was very mentally challenging for me. A few dark days there. A lot of hard times for me and my family. But for me, using sport to aid and assist in my recovery has been fantastic. And Invictus Games, it's just been sensational for me to use that on that platform, and now I get to represent my country once again.
Sam, how many of the ex-servicemen do you reckon have dark days? Like, I know post-traumatic stress is a big thing. What sort of percentage of you and your mates have gone through stuff like that?
Yeah, look, PTSD, I mean, it hasn't been a widely spoken topic for a long time. I mean, unfortunately, it is on the increase. Percentages are quite high, and they're only increasing. Prince Harry's Invictus Games is a great platform to recognise that, but it is on the increase, and we do need to do more as a collective to, battle this terrible disease that so many suffer from.
Mm. Matt, we know that anyone that serves in the military, there's always a camaraderie, there's a sense of team, there's a sense of looking after each other. I get the feeling just from watching this that the Invictus Games even takes that to another level. Would that be correct?
Oh, you're not wrong. I mean, just within the Australian team, the camaraderie is unbelievable. It's like we've known each other for years. You know, we've all got our own individual stories.
Yeah.
But coming together, it's it's just a great feeling in the camp. It's you know, we all look after each other, and for us, you know, it's not about getting a medal around our neck. It's just that we're here now and we get to compete and represent our country, and it goes for other nations too. You know, we've met some great other people, you know, with their own stories from other, you know, from the UK and America and all different sorts of things, and you know, it's a great environment to be around.
Must be an emotional time, really, is it? For grown men who are quite obviously tough blokes who've been through really, really tough times when they're away from home servicing and serving their country and then coming home with the injuries. It must be a big thing emotionally to get over.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, look, I mean, it took me a long time to get on top of my personal battle, and I know other guys are still struggling day to day and week to week and things like that. But, I mean, for them to be, you know, to recognise that they do have a problem and, you know, do seek that the proper help is important. And for them to use sport as their rehabilitation, you know, anyone you talk to with PTSD, you know, sport is only aiding and assisting them to move forward and be happy with life and, you know, live life to its fullest.
Fantastic, Matthew. Well done, mate. Good luck today in the indoor rowing, and I know you've got athletics coming up as well, mate. Thanks for talking to us and good luck.
Not a problem. Thanks very much.
Well done, Matthew.
There you go. Matthew Model from New South Wales representing us in the Invictus Games.
Ruined dits for breakfast.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome
Lehman.
Lehman!
I'm Anthony Lehman.
Oh. Hey, Lemo. How are you, Lemo?
Oh, Ruined Dits. What a pleasure it is to be with you. Now, guys, I heard you.
What are you doing?
I'll go. You two sit back. I'll go. Hey, I heard you talking to Matt Modell. It's Matt Modell, guys, not Model.
Oh, well, we just thought it was Model. Sorry about that. We're still trying to catch up with all our Invictus athletes.
Oh, mate, I'll tell you what. Well, I'm at Sydney Olympic Park at the moment, where day three is kicking off today. I'm looking out my hotel room window now. I'm seeing competitors heading off to events. There's a really good buzz around the joint. But I'll tell you something funny. Just to give you a picture, all the competitors from the 18 nations are staying in about four or five different hotels around Sydney Olympic Park. The hotel I'm in is where all the Australians are staying, plus the Afghan team is staying here as well. I'm in a little corner of the hotel. So I'm in a little section with all the Afghans. It's me and all the Afghans in one section here. And this morning, I was woken up at 6:30 this morning. They were having some sort of team meeting outside my hotel room door. So I've gotten up and I'm pulled out and say, guys, do you want to keep it down? And they've looked at me. And then I've realized, they don't understand what I'm saying. They don't speak English. And I didn't know how to say that in Pashto. And then I saw one of them walk off. He grabs the interpreter and brings him on. I've had to lodge a complaint via the interpreter.
How did it go down? Did they quieten down, did they?
Mate, they couldn't give a stuff.
The interpreter gave you a little bit back, did he? Or
I reckon I said to the interpreter, can you keep it down a bit? And I reckon the interpreter turned to them and said, this vlog wants to keep it down. Let's ramp it up a bit, boys.
I think when the Taliban's outside your hotel room door, let them go, I reckon.
Yeah. Losing sleep's the last of your worries, I reckon.
No, they're very good neighbours. Very good neighbours. Not complaining at all.
How's the vibe up there, Lemo? Is it good?
It's good, mate. It's great. Everyone's, you know, and you guys captured this speaking with Matt just before. It's a real community spirit and a community environment, and all these competitors are here for themselves, of course, but they're all here for each other as well. And you know, you hear some amazing stories. I mean, Matt shared a bit of his just before. I was talking to a guy last night who served in the Australian Army, was horribly injured in an explosion in Afghanistan, and he spent 4 years inside his house. Didn't leave his house for 4 years.
What, too scared to?
Well, that's his post-traumatic stress. That's how it manifested itself. He couldn't leave his house. And it was the Invictus Games that got him out of his house, got him on the track, got him training. And now he's out here sharing his experiences with all these other people who have got stories just like his.
Have you caught up with Harry?
Well, funny you should ask.
I've
got a selfie with him yesterday. Freddie, he wouldn't stop
hugging
me.
I've seen the selfie. He was 20 metres behind you. He wasn't even looking at the camera.
Is it? Because it's funny. Right before that, we were having a big hug, and he was saying, "Lemo, I've got to catch up." And
he said, "I'd love to come to Peabinga."
I said, "Mate, can we come up at harvest? I heard you on the radio the other day. I'd love to jump on the header for a while. And it's funny. As soon as I got my camera, he had to dash off to another chat about 20 metres away.
Mm, so, yeah.
But trust me, we were cuddling.
Rui, which one of the Royals was it that you tried to shake hands with? It was Harry.
I welcomed him to Australia.
That's right.
Yeah.
And then about 10 bounces.
At 3 o'clock in the morning. And then about 8 bounces come and said, get out of the way.
no luck there, bro?
No, not really. I tried to do the right thing.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though. Last night on our show, Invictus Games Today, we had a certain interview that Dylan Alcott caught up with Prince Harry, actually with Matt Modell and Nicky Bradley, the Australian team captain.
Mm.
And it was a really great 15-minute chat. And at the end of it, Matt gave Prince Harry a set of budgie smugglers.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, gave a set of budgie. And Dylan, as a joke, right at the end, says, hey, why don't you put them on for a photo?
Yeah.
Anyway, Prince Harry put the budgie smugglers on over his suit pants.
Over his suit pants?
Over his suit pants. But the funny thing about it, I was talking to Dylan about it afterwards, and he said, when this was happening, like Dylan couldn't believe it, he looked up and there's five or six people who work at the palace who are standing around. And they're all going, no. Don't say, oh, God, he's doing it. Okay.
Hey, the palace is a different place in Adelaide. You're going to remember that, Limo.
When you say the palace, yeah. You need to be more specific.
I don't know what you're talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. No, of course you don't. All right, Limo, we're going to catch up with you again on Thursday.
Yeah, plenty more action and stories for you Thursday, guys. Mm. There's heaps going on here. But tune in to Invictus Games tonight, ABC, 8 o'clock every night, right across the week.
Now, listen, we don't want an international diplomatic incident. Don't upset the Afghanis, all right?
Yeah, all right.
I know.
Just get some earplugs.
We're all right, good on you, guys.
See you, Limo.
See you, Limo.
Have a good few days.
Rue, Chad Wingard was all the talk of the trade week.
Yep.
The speculation about why he's going, and there's been so many questions asked, and he said that he'll have his day and he'll come out and talk about all the reasons and what happened at Port Adelaide. But Warren Treadray, who we know has insiders at the club, he still has friends down there,
yep,
and he talks to people, and I get the feeling he knows exactly what goes on inside the footy club. And after the trade was done, he went on the rush hour here on Triple M on Friday, and he didn't hold back. He had a fair bit to say. Let's have a listen to Warren Treadray.
Now, let's talk about Chatty Wingard's departure.
I've been waiting for him to break his silence, Bluey, right, because he just said, I will have my say, don't listen to anyone.
Okay.
And he touched on, one of the reporters asked him about the feedback that you may have got mid-season.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely, either from one of the leaders or Kenny would have been nice, but like I said, when it's exit meetings, that's when you really sit down and talk about everything, and it's one of the opportunities that you get to go face-to-face with how the season was, how you went personally. It's hard to prove yourself because obviously I thought I was coming back there to work on that in pre-season.
Interesting, the nice stuff couple of you slaps, hear. Yeah, yeah. Well, he's clipped Ken Hinckley and he's clipped the leadership group led by Travis Boat that he never got any feedback. But I think this young man is telling the truth.
Wow.
My understanding is the leadership group was sick of him.
Okay.
Sick of his attitude.
Right.
I've been holding fire on this for quite some time. Let the trade go through and then tell the real story, because a lot of Port supporters out there, Blue, are going, why the hell are we getting rid of one of our most talented players?
Yep. What's the real story?
Well, the facts are he's had numerous times the coaches asked him for better professionalism, better discipline, more attention to the detail in his career, hard working, not whinging and body language about being sore and not wanting to train. And I think it got to that stage at Alberton for Chad Wingard, which you sit back and go, for a kid inside 22 years of age, he's the best
club
player in
champion,
the comp for that
two-time
age.
Two-time All-Australian.
Unbelievable.
Two-time leading goal
but
kicker at Port
hasn't
Adelaide.
Gone anywhere near that level.
Yeah.
And he's saying right there that he never got that feedback. I know for a fact he was on the verge of getting dropped. And if it wasn't for Ken Hinckley backing him in, he said, you need to bring more intensity to your game and more discipline off the field. He got best on ground against Richmond on a Friday night. So that bit does really surprise me.
What's he saying about the culture of the football club?
Well, he's saying there's no leadership.
When teams, I suppose, underperform like Port, we did the last couple of years, pressure comes on the players and coaches. So I think it was just the right time for me and the club to try and part ways. I think I needed a change in my career. I needed something to revitalise myself and not get stagnant and comfortable where I was at.
Nah.
What's your take on that, Blue?
Well, it's...
So the pressure comes on. What is he doing?
He's out.
He's just sunk the boots into that football club that's looked after him.
Yeah, and he's also said, when the pressure comes on, I'm leaving. I've rated this kid as high as anyone, but I'm just disappointed because I can tell you post-season, when Kenny challenged him, it was toys out the cop.
Well, you reckon there was two meetings?
I've heard a whisper that there was two meetings.
Right.
So then you go away after, sometimes you take your medicine, come back a week later, and my understanding was he just said, trade me. Paul goes, we don't want to trade you, mate. We'll not keep you.
So he's gone in and asked for the trade.
Yeah. So trying to get Port to come out and trade
because he got some honest feedback.
Yeah, and he wasn't willing to take it on board.
So what's this with Port Adelaide players ranking each other?
Leadership happens every year.
Yeah.
Mm. I can tell you, the two lowest ranked, Pollock and Wingard.
By their teammates, on their standards.
And this is on their standards, what they vote their leadership group on.
Their overall standards.
Wow. Yeah, and their overall leaders and players who have been, some have been there 6-8 weeks, done a pre-season.
Yeah. Is he a sport brat?
I don't know the kid.
Has he lost respect?
I just think he's an individual player.
Yeah, okay.
He's just an brilliant individual player, and he doesn't buy into others. And I think everyone can get caught of that in career at some stage when you're self-preservation.
Yeah.
But I think where Port's at,
they've
made this decision in the off-season on culture.
Interesting.
Explosive stuff.
It is. It's big comments by Treaders to say that. He said that Wingard was the one who asked for the trade, though. That's interesting.
Mm.
So it wasn't Port's decision for him to go. Port let him go in the end, but Wingard was the one who wanted to go somewhere else.
So there's no doubt that halfway through the season, it was talked about that he was going to get dropped, as Treaders pointed out.
Mm.
Ken Hinckley spoke to him. How can we say? It was very blunt with him, I think.
Yep.
But to me, this is what it needs.
He potted him and Treaders wrote the article. Mm. So.
But I think this is what it needs. You know, Port Adelaide, the way it's performed, you've got to make some hard calls.
Yep.
And you've got to eyeball players like Chad Wingard and say, well, you're going to have to lift.
And Port obviously thought that they couldn't change him. They've tried to change him but couldn't change him. Mm. So therefore, if he wants to go, if you get a good deal, you let him go.
Well, one of Treaders' comments there was that the leadership group was fed up. They'd had enough.
Mm.
Pretty strong words, aren't they?
Yeah.
And the other thing that surprises me is that Jared Pollock was ranked second bottom or bottom amongst his peers. He had a great season.
Yeah, but nothing to do with football. It's just about preparation and professionalism and leadership and stuff like that. But not everyone's a leader. There's no doubt about that. But in the end, they've lost two good ball users that were fifth and sixth in their best and fairest, but sounds like two blokes who didn't contribute to any leadership or do anything like that. But big news there from Treaders, and Port fans would be... I don't know about happy to hear it, but...
No, but it puts it into perspective. It makes me understand more now, because a week ago I was a person saying, gee, why do you trade someone like Chad Wingard?
Mm.
If everything he's saying's true, I totally get it.
When your leaders are in order to play, it's a very, very bad sign. Mm. So interesting stuff there from Treaders and the boys on the Rush Hour.
Just quickly, Roo, you've got some stats on Trade Week, haven't you, that I found quite interesting.
Well, you know how it keeps saying it goes on forever and could it be shorter or whatever.
Mm.
Massive amounts of following. People, the AFL footballers, the diehards love it. They had 27.8 million people clicked on online articles from AFL articles and the club websites and things like that over... the trade period.
27 million.
27 million. 1.2 million people streamed trade radio to have a listen to that.
Yeah.
29% of those watch the video of that for an average of an hour at a time. So a lot of people.
If you are one of those people that streamed trade radio, I really feel sorry for you. Go out and find something to do, will you?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of
watch
people.
Paint dry. It's got to be better than that.
Nah,
trade radio.
Well, they're all over. They love their players. They love their
serious?
Footy. 4.5 million unique visitors. Heaps of people onto it. So that is why people, the AFL, have the trade period go so long, because they get the AFL in the news, just like we're talking about it now.
Look at my butterfly collection. 7:59, ruined. It's on Triple M. Ring now.
Yes, if you want to win $10,000 in the rumour contest. Rumour. Not rumour.
Rumour. Rumour. Rumour. Hey, Roo, I was driving on Friday and it made me think. I was up in the hills and a driver coming the other way flashed his lights at me. Thought, hello.
What, were radar. You doing something wrong?
No, radar, so I slowed down. But it made me think.
Oh, radar.
Doesn't happen anywhere near as much as it used to. Everyone used to flash each other all the time.
Was there someone on the gun, or was it just a speed camera?
Nah, speed camera. But then, driving in this morning, it was just a coincidence, but on our overnight program with Luke Boner, there were a lot of phone calls about this, people ringing up, a lot of truckies saying, yeah, we flash each other. And now, is it actually illegal to do it? If a cop sees you flashing someone,
I hope not.
Do you get prosecuted?
I hope not.
So you're a flasher, are you?
Oh, I'm a team player, yeah.
Well, it's probably un-Australian not to flash, isn't it? Like, we've all got to help each other out, surely.
Well, yeah, exactly. I don't condone speeding, but too many bloody cameras out there and it's confusing.
Yeah, you get caught everywhere. But what about also on the freeway, there's a sign that says speed camera in use sort of right here. I mean, they're giving it away.
Speed camera ahead.
Yeah, which is a bit funny, isn't it?
Speed camera points.
But I heard one lady ring up this morning and she said she made the point that when you do flash people, well, we all slow down. So it's actually a safety thing anyway.
Yeah.
It's helping to make us all slow down a little bit.
Yeah, I think you should flash really, but I mean, I'm not, you know, you should, whether or not they're speeding or not, you don't do it for that reason. You just do it, I suppose, to let them know.
Because some of the fines are horrendous. You don't want all of your fellow drivers getting fined $380 or $400 or whatever.
No, you don't.
They're hefty, the fines.
You know what peeves me off more than actually getting done for speeding?
What?
When you flash and people don't acknowledge that you flashed them. They don't even wave.
What are they meant to do?
Oh, they meant to at least stick one finger up if they're lazy. Or even just acknowledge. You can even just nod your head.
Righto.
I just want some acknowledgement.
If Rue flashes you in future, please wave.
Well, I just want some acknowledgement that I've gone out of my way to make their life better.
Right.
If you're too lazy to do it, you can get stuffed. All right.
Fair enough.
That is just garbage. You can just go, oh, thanks, mate. Yep. I wasn't speeding anyway.
So you're one of these people, you've always got to get a pat on the back, do you? You can't just help. You can't just do something. You've always got to get something in return, do you?
No, well, I think it's un-Australian not to support people that support you. Is that fair enough or not? Oh, what? You don't agree with that? I can imagine Captain Grumpy over there if you didn't get bloody, if you went out of your way to...
I don't do a Yui and chase him.
Well, that wouldn't surprise me if you did.
I've thought about it.
Oh, it's just lazy. I hate people when you wave that they don't wave back, but flashing, you know. Is it illegal to flash?
I don't know. Actually, if there's an off-duty policeman listening, I want to know what the rules are. Because, I wonder if you can get into big trouble for doing it.
What percentage but of even people an off-duty, do you reckon flash?
An off-duty cop would be appreciating it too, because they don't want to get caught speeding.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, what are the rules, if you can help us with that? But are we still a nation of flashers? Because I don't see it anywhere near as much as we used to see it.
That's because people don't care about other people as much as they used to. In country towns and stuff like that. Be hard. Everyone flashes up there because they care about their community.
All right.
Do you flash? You wouldn't. You wouldn't care.
Yeah, probably. I've dropped off a little bit, really.
So you've dropped off.
Yeah, probably dropped off. I'm a law-abiding citizen, Roo.
You're lazy. You don't care.
133353. Do you still flash? And what are the rules? If you can help us out with this, if there is a police officer listening, we'd be keen to know what we're meant to do.
Yeah, we've got a double to a day on the green to give away as well. John Farnham, Daryl Braithwaite, Richard Marks at Leckenfield Wines, November 24th. Get your tickets from Ticketmaster.com. Do you flash? And is it legal?
All right, 133353. Ruined. It's on Triple M. Have we forgotten to flash? Have we forgotten to look after our fellow man, Roo, when we're out on the roads?
Exactly right. Let's go to St. Clair. G'day, Doug.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good, thanks, Doug.
That's good. So I stand corrected on this, but my understanding is it's not illegal to flash somebody else to warn them about a camera with your low beam, but it is illegal to do it with your high beam. If you actually use your light switch to flash somebody, it's no dramas. But if you use your normal dipper switch, that's when it's actually illegal because you're actually flashing high beam.
Right. That's a technicality.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for that, Doug.
Good on you, Dougie.
Take more calls in just a moment on 133353. Do we still flash our fellow drivers to warn them about radars, and should we be doing it?
You've dropped off, Ditz.
Dropped off a little bit, but I'll get back into it now. Like, give me a pep talk.
Program, you've dropped right off. Let's go to Gawa. G'day, Shane.
G'day, Roy. How you doing, mate?
Are you a flasher?
Good, mate. Yes, mate. Yes, I am, and I reckon it's a damn good thing because, start off, I just want to pull Ditz up on one thing. He did say that... when people flash, we all slow down. That's not exactly true.
You don't reckon some are under the limit?
Mate, when you see someone flash, you check your speed, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
Not all of us are speeding.
That's right. Got your point. Ooh, understand.
Righto.
Anything to check your speed, I reckon it's a good thing, whether it be a sign, a flash, whatever. Yeah,
are you a waver after you get flashed?
Yeah, I'd like to acknowledge the people. Thank you very much. Yeah. Cost nothing to say thank you.
No, that's
right. Doesn't cost anything to be nice, Sean. Good on you, mate. Let's go to Milo. G'day, Emma.
Hi, guys. I always flash. I live up in the hills. And so I do for speeding, but I also do it, especially this time of year coming into the Tour Down Under, for cyclists around blind corners.
Oh, yeah. Good idea, Em.
Yep.
We get a lot of cycling tourists, I guess, and a lot of them don't understand that cars can't overtake around blind corners. So it's always just a warning in general.
So you say you always do it in the hills. Do you think, is it reciprocated? Do you think other people are still pretty good at it?
It's not as much as what it used to be.
Yeah.
But I think you get it more from the people that live in the hills because they know warnings. I also do it like at dusk if there's a pack of kangaroos.
Right, packs of kangaroos. Do people wave back at you, Emma?
Most of the time.
Yeah. What do you feel? Always. What do you feel for the people when they don't acknowledge you? What goes through your mind?
I don't think that's able to be said on morning radio.
Hey, did you grow up in Mylor or did you move there?
No, we moved up there about 3.5 years ago.
From where?
From down on the plains.
And so, do you like it up there?
I love it. But just, this time of year, you've got to be careful for people that don't really know how to drive up there. There's a lot of twisty corners and kangaroos and things like that. I live up there and I hit one about a month ago.
Oh, okay. So when you see a good-looking bloke driving around in a Jaguar from Solitaire, make sure you flash him, please.
Okay,
thanks.
Good on you, Emma. Let's go to Evanston Gardens. G'day, Wayne.
Yeah, how you going, guys?
You a flasher?
Yeah, mate, every time. Definitely acknowledge every time when someone else does it back to me, and even when I'm about to merge into a lane and someone actually creates a gap for me, I wave back as well.
Yeah, I always wave for those. Now, Roo, you've got me going on this one. I do get annoyed when people don't wave back for that.
Oh, so when it suits you.
Terrible.
So when it suits you, you get annoyed.
No, but always wave. When people let you in, always wave. Come on.
I even stick my arm out the window so just to make sure they see, you know, that. Good stuff.
Yeah, no, I don't like people that don't acknowledge that.
Okay, well, that's good. So no one said it's illegal, other than if you do it with a high beam, but I don't reckon if you used high beam during the day to make any difference anyway.
Shouldn't do.
No. Anyway, we'll probably find out next time Grant Stevens, the commissioner, comes in here and hands us a fine that is illegal.
And for promoting it on air.
For promoting
probably
it.
6 months jail.
Anyway, it's been good working with you, Dits.
Not sharing a cell with you.
We've got the Monday talk back coming back. I'd be a lot better than some others. Don't worry.
Rossdale Homes, with over 30 years of building experience. RossdaleHomes.com.au.